Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the life? Are you ready for the war?
I know they see you when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. But don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't you stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold that, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's silent and they can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. Situations will approach you, and opportunities to fade, shade and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent, and believe me, you ain't seen much. It's just the beginning. More walking, slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a light. You bring a lot and it's silent and they can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, hey. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready.
There's no need to worry about them let me downs. You can count them instinct the moment you let me round. I torched it, dream shouted and forced it to move off that groove and made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. The clowns we fighting for, the thought of you free from danger. Hurt, fear, depression and anger, confusion, rage and pain galore. Got me out here with my tools up, fighting with what I could use up. Lyrics on tracks with music, yeah the pain came and the rain fell down. But I maintained through the skirmish, cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I fight for you, I'm right for you, I'm here on purpose.
And you know I fight for you, I'll fight for you, I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
Fight for you,
fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
Fight for you,
I'll fight, you know I'm ready, girl, I'll fight for you.
Your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I'd rather fight for you.
Shabbat Shalom, Israel, family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yarrow of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll remind you all to grab all your study tools, your notepad, your iPad, your Bibles, your study dictionaries, all those things that you might need for a great study. As always, ask for someone to send me a shout out, thumbs up, let me know that I can be heard. Until then, we're going to do a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for choosing us to walk in your ways and walk in your truth. And we thank you, Father, for opening our eyes and opening our mind to acknowledge Yahushua as being our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, soon coming King. For it is through his spilled blood that we have been given an opportunity to come to this Sabbath and hear your words. Father, we thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for your lessons and your blessings that you've given us throughout the course of the week. But ultimately, we thank you for Yahushua, for leading and guiding us throughout the course of this week and giving us the assistance that we need to overcome the obstacles that we were faced with. Father, we thank you for the health and the strength that you're bringing to our Ema. And it's good to hear that she's about to come home. We thank you for all the health and strength that you've given all those who are suffering, both mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Father, we thank you once again for choosing us to walk in your ways. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hello, once again, I'm Yarrow Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation, and this is another session of Can It Be That Simple? It's been a while since I've been on the mic and had an opportunity to be a vehicle for the Most High to speak to you in regards to his word and things that he may want you to even think about. So this is this next 6 weeks is I'm gonna take a page out of one of our other Maureen's book, and I'm gonna do some reading. And the reading that I'm gonna be doing throughout the course of these next 6 weeks is I'm gonna be reading the book of Yahushua, or Joshua, as is written in the text. And throughout the next 6 weeks, we're going to go through the whole book of Joshua. I think it's 24 chapters, something like that. So we're going to be reading each week. We're going to read like 4 chapters. And I'm going to allow the Father to lead and guide my tongue as we go through it. And also, you know, if he has me to write some things down, then I'll write some things down and I'll read those to you also. But before we get into reading the book of Joshua, as you all know, if you've been following the 6 weeks programming of Blog Talk, you know, we just came out of a session called, you know, The Art of War. And so that's what led me to wanting to go into the book of Joshua, because if we pay attention to Joshua, he is, you know, the servant after Moses. And as we know, Moses brought the Israelites out of he took them out of Egypt into the wilderness. And it was Yahushua, son of Nun, that took them into the promised land. And one of the things that we have to realize, or, you know, we understand that when Yahushua, son of Nun, took them into Canaan or the promised land, they were fighting. As we know, when they was in the wilderness, they were, you know, when we go through the book of Numbers, they were creating an army of the nations. So when they went into Canaan, they were fighting to acquire that land. It wasn't like their land was barren and no one was there. It were nations that were there. And so Yahushua, son of Nun, took them over there, and they went to war. So one of the things that, you know, that's what, you know, opened my eyes to this particular, you know, this particular topic and this particular book, because Yahushua, son of Nun, his story is about war, is about fighting. But before we get into reading the book of Joshua, or the first four chapters of the book of Joshua, or Yahushua, some things, you know, in my meantime, in between time of teaching, you know, I've had some issues going on. And one of the issues that, you know, I've been having is I've been having some dental issues. And one of the things, you know, and, you know, just like all situations, you know, we take it as, you know, a teaching tool. So one of the things that came to my mind when I was dealing with the, you know, dealing with these teeth issues or these dental issues, I'm still going through it right now. But it led me to, you know, a different perspective of sin. And see, when we pay attention, you know, we look at sin, because sometimes we don't even pay attention to sin. You know, we understand that we're living in sin. We understand that it's a part of us. You know, but sometimes we as individuals, we don't even acknowledge that it's even in us, because we feel as though that we're so good and so righteous that we're doing the right thing by Yahweh's, you know, by Yahweh and by his word, that we don't even think we have sin in us. And we're wrong when we believe that about ourselves, because the scriptures clearly state that none is righteous. All have fallen short of the glory of Yah. You know, the only righteous one that ever existed on this earth was Yahushua. And he himself said, none is good but the Father. So if he's saying that about himself, what right do we have to think that we are above sin? And one of the things that came to my mind in dealing with these dental issues was I had this issue. I had like a little hole in my tooth. And this particular day, every so often, you know, I would feel something in this particular tooth and I would suck it out, or I would rinse my mouth and, you know, clear it out. But this one day I went through that same procedure and I felt this great pain, this great discomfort. It caused me to, you know, take a couple pills. But, you know, what I did, I made a dental appointment. And in the process of making this dental appointment, you know, I was doing what's necessary, trying not to, you know, breathe hard so air could get down in this tooth and things of that nature. Because whenever I breathed hard, the air would get down there and just bring this pain to me. So go to the dentist and, you know, bam, it's a cavity, you know. So, you know, so one of the things that the young lady was telling me in regards to these cavities is, you know, cavities, you know, they go through three layers of the tooth, because I didn't know it was three layers of a tooth. So this cavity starts off by, you know, poor habits. You know, we might all brush our teeth and floss our teeth and things of that nature, but if you're not diligent at taking care of our teeth, then we possibly get a cavity. So what I was looking at, this cavity as being a sin. You know, because in the beginning, as it's eating away at your tooth, because just going back to the three layers of the tooth, you have your enamel, that's the hard outer layer. It protects the teeth from damage and infection. Then under that, the middle layer is called the dentin. And this middle layer of the tooth is composed of various minerals. And then the third part is called the pulp, and this is the center of the tooth, which contains all the nerves and the blood vessels. So this cavity that I had went through all three of these levels. So now when I was breathing in really hard or, you know, rinsing, the air was hitting the nerve, which was causing the pain. And so what are the things that, dealing with this process, you know, it led to, you know, the pain. And the dentist was saying how, you know, yeah, you can have it, you can have this cavity and it can sit in your mouth and not cause you no pain, cause you no discomfort, no nothing. Is when it gets really deep into that tooth when it starts causing discomfort. So one of the things, because she started, you know, working on this tooth, you know, she took the cavity out, and then she put this temporary covering over it. But then in the process of having this temporary covering over it, I started having levels of pain. So she gave me some painkillers, and then she gave me some penicillin. And the penicillin was to assist in getting rid of the infection. So one of the things that cavities do, they cause infection in your tooth. So because of the infection goes down to the tooth and actually gets down to the nerves and causes an abscess. So it's, you know, most of the time when people have really bad tooth issues, is they have to deal with the infection. They have to deal with the abscess. So it's like when it really becomes prevalent, then you decide to change or try to start taking care of your, you know, taking care of this tooth because you want to get rid of the pain. And how I compare that to sin is because once we acknowledge that sin is in us, if we maintain that proper maintenance, see, because that's one of the things that, you know, I've been learning in regards to these teeth issues, is that the proper maintenance would mean taken care of before this point. You know, I'm aging, you know, I'm like 52, and this is the worst situation I've had with my teeth. You know, so if I had proper management of my teeth before this happened, it's a possibility I wouldn't have had this issue. But that's the same thing with sin. You know, understanding that sin is there, if we properly manage it and constantly keep ourselves abreast of the Torah and abreast of the righteousness of the Torah, then what are we doing? We're constantly chiseling away at that sin, to the point where it's eventually, you know, we're slowly, you know, grinding it away, getting rid of it. But if we slack on our studying of the Torah and in the practicing of the Torah, what happens? That sin begins to build and build and build and build. And then when someone corrects you or bring it to your attention about something, the first thing we do, we feel that pain. We feel that pain. And then once we feel that pain, what do? We go find something to soothe that pain. And in my case, dealing with the dental issue, they gave me, you know, they gave me ibuprofen, and I took acetaminophen with it also, because I didn't want any pain. And so when I take that combination really gets rid of the pain. So, you know, so during that time of this, you know, these teeth issues, you know, because there's two of them in my face, one on the left, one on the right. So, you know, I'm dealing with these two teeth, and I'm dealing with the pain, and dealing with the penicillin, and that's supposed to get rid of the infection. But in light of sin, what do? We listen to our counsel of our priests and our teachers and our elders, and these are the things that are supposed to help us get rid of the sin, you know. But if we start leaning on our own understanding of things, what happens? We begin to just pacify the pain. We pacify the sin, not really getting rid of it. Why? Because within our own minds, we're always seeing that we're right. You know, we're always right in the company of one, you know. But in light of, you know, paying attention to the sin in us, we have to be mindful that we have to do what is right according to the Torah to get rid of that sin. And as one of the things we learn in the Torah is that you teach your children when you sit in your home, when you walk on the way. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to groom our children, so that when they become older, they have something to lean back on, and that's those good habits of the Torah. And that's one of the things the young lady was telling me about, you know, proper, taking care of your teeth. Because one of the things that came to my mind, you know, when I was dealing, or while I'm dealing with these dental issues, is how much it costs. You know, that it's costing the brother, and it's, you know, that's a very discomforting thing where, you know, you got the physical discomfort in your face, but then you got the discomfort in your pocket. And, you know, and that's where the young lady was saying that if you had good proper management of your dental, then, you know, you wouldn't have these issues. Why? Because dental, how she was explaining was, it's preventive. So when you're paying your dental insurance, this is what I learned, you're paying your dental insurance for prevention. And then when you don't do what you're supposed to do, that's when it costs you, because you weren't doing what was necessary to prevent these issues from happening. And so in light of the Torah, if we keep working at it, listening and applying it, what is happening? We're constantly doing what's necessary to rid sin from us. And we know that the adversary, he at war, as we said, you know, as we started off, he's at war with humanity because he wants humanity to be at that party with him, you know. And we, as righteousness, being taught through the Torah as being light of Yahushua in this world, we're not trying to be there. But he's trying to get us there, because those that are already not keeping Torah, he doesn't really have to really concern himself with them, because they are already falling short. But the Father wants everybody to have an opportunity to make it to his kingdom. So he has sent brothers and sisters like us that's listening to the hearing in my voice to have an opportunity to cross their path, to give them the opportunity to understand and know who Yahushua is, and to know what the Torah is all about. And the Torah is all about life. The Torah is all about righteousness. It's all about good, you know. So just wanted to throw that out there. I had just some other things in regards to cavities, but I think I indirectly talked about them and whatnot. But, you know, just relating, you know, this personal issue, this cavity, and relating it to that word, because the Father said he can use anything to teach us, you know. So, and one of the things about the dental issues, it's all about prevention, preventing us from getting cavities. Same thing with the Torah. It's about preventing us from not making it into, you know, it's about preventing us from not making it into the lake of fire. That's what the whole Torah is about. It's about preventing us from making it to the lake of fire and entering into that gate, you know. And one of the things that we learn through the Torah is who the gate is, who is Yahushua, who is life, who is Yahushua, who is righteousness, Yahushua. And that's one of the things that we learn through the Torah about Yahushua. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to get into Joshua. You know, enough about my experiences between the last time I taught and now. You know, some other things is going on, but, you know, that's the main one right now, because it's right, I'm going through it right now. So I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And, you know, we've heard this scripture before several times. And it reads, "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we've heard this before, you know, understanding that, you know, this war or this battle is in our mind. You know, we have a battle within our mind, and then we wake up, you know, the Father wakes us up, and then we go outside and we be a part of the world. So then what we do? Then we have to deal with the world and their foolishness and their antics. But one of the things we've learned over the years is that we're in this world, but not of this world. And if we walk according to the law, statutes, and judgments, and walk according to being in that kingdom, as we say, that kingdom living here and now, well, as Yahushua said, the kingdom of Yah is at hand. You know, if we're living according to that, you know, men are going to understand and acknowledge the righteousness that we're doing just as well as the heavens. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. And this is dealing with Yahushua. And it says, "Do not think I came to send peace on the earth. I did not come to send peace, but a sword." And this is just letting you know that, you know, Yahushua is letting the people know, hey, look, you know, because we know as we read, you know, we read in the scriptures during the time which the Messiah was here, you know, that's the teaching that had been being passed down from generation to generation in regards to the Savior coming, and the Savior was to come and remove them from a level of physical bondage, you know. But that, you know, that aspect was done. It was done through Moses. Moses pulled them out of a physical bondage that they were going through, but yet they still wanted to be in bondage. Several times Moses dealt with Israel when they was in the wilderness, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery. They wanted to go back to bondage. But yet when the Messiah was here, they wanted them to pull him out. They wanted the Messiah to pull them out of that bondage. When what did they do? They did everything in their power to be back in bondage because they did not do the preventiveness of the Torah. They did not listen to the words of the Torah. They did not listen to what Yahweh was telling them to do. They was listening to the words of men, which caused them to have that cavity grow and grow and grow within them. From here, we're going to go to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And if I didn't say in Matthew, it's Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and it reads, "Yahushua, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." And this is just talking about, you know, Yahushua when he had been baptized. And the rest of the Holy Spirit came down, or we, as we refer to the rest of the letters of the alphabet, came down and rested on him bodily, and it led him into the wilderness, you know, to be tried, letting, you know, getting you back to the whole aspect of Moses taking the people out of bondage, out of Egypt, and he took them into the wilderness. So from here, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, "Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in Yahweh's law. On his law he meditates day and night." And if you look up in this particular scripture, the term man, one of the definition is mankind. So just want to acknowledge that, you know, this particular, you know, the term man in this, we're going to refer to as mankind. You know, when we look at mankind, because Adam, you know, when he was created for, you know, humanity. So we understand that blessed is humanity who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the ways of the sinner,
nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in Yahweh's law. On his law, he meditates day and night. You know, so if humanity meditated on Yahweh's word and not meditated on the opinions of people, the opinions of evil spirits, they would understand, or they would be preventing themselves from being filled with sin. So from here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9 to 12. And it reads, Yahushua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him, and the children of Israel listened to him and did as Yahweh commanded Moses. There was not arise a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom Yahweh knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which Yahweh sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and all his land, and in all the mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses worked in the sight of all Israel. So, you know, when here, Father led me here because he wanted to, bring it to everyone's attention that, you know, Moses, you know, passed his spirit on to Yahushua, son of Nun. And, you know, I think in my Torah portion, Yahushua, son of Nun, Moses changed his name to this. His name was originally Hoshea. So Moses changed Hoshea's name to Yahushua. So from here, we get ready to go into Joshua. And as we know, Joshua, you know, he took the people over to the promised land. And this is the beginning. We're going to start in Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to read to, the first four chapters. And my brother said, as the Spirit lead and guide me, I'll stop and converse about some things, how the Father, you know, leads me. But in between times, just want everybody to listen to what the words say, and at the same time, compare it with Yahushua. And I don't think I told you the title of this particular lesson. And the title of this particular lesson is Yahushua, son of Nun, a prototype of Yahushua, son of Yah? Just, you know, keep that in mind as we go through Yahushua, the book of Yahushua. Verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, it came to pass that Yahweh spake to Yahushua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good carriage. Unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So I'm going to stop here for a minute. See what's happening. Yahweh is talking to Yahushua and telling him what he's going to do with him. And he's also encouraging him and letting him know that I'll be with you. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I'm going to stop here for a minute because we've heard that scripture before. You know, I think it's Jeremiah chapter 31, I believe. No. That's not it. But I'm going to just say it. It's dealing with Jehoshaphat. It says, believe in Yahweh, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. So what is he saying? You know, right here he's saying, believe in what Moses commanded you. Don't turn to the left or turn to the right, and you're going to prosper. So that's saying the same thing for us today. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Listen to what Moses said, because Moses is only repeating what was told to him by Yahweh. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For Yahweh, thy Elohim, is with thee wheresoever thou goest. So that applies to us also. We should be of good courage. We should be strong and of good courage. We should not be afraid, neither be dismayed. For we're striving, for we're keeping the law, statutes, and judgments. We're listening to his voice. So we should get the same thing, and that's prosperity. Prosperity in his word, prosperity in the understanding of his word. But ultimately, we're getting the prosperity and understanding who Yahushua is and what he has done for us. Verse 10, then Yahushua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go and possess the land which Yahweh, your Elohim, give you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Yahushua, saying, remember the words which Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you, saying, Yahweh, your Elohim, have given you rest and have given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Yahweh has given your brethren's rest, as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which Yahweh, your Elohim, giveth them, then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, Yahweh's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Yahushua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only Yahweh, thy Elohim, be with thee, as he was with Moses. So we're going to stop here for a minute. So what's happening? The tribes are acknowledging Yahushua, son of Nun, as being their leader. And they're saying that they're giving him the same respect that they gave Moses. You know, and so one of the things that we have to bring that to modern day, you know, when there's a leader chosen, the people have to acknowledge him as being that leader, as being that spokesperson for Yahweh. Just as Moses was the spokesperson for Yahweh, and it was passed down to Yahushua, or Joshua, son of Nun, and the people acknowledged him. And as now, we can pass it down, you know, those prophets, those teachers, you know, that spirit has gone down into to teach people so that they can prosper in Yahweh's word. Verse 18, whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto thy words, and in all that thy commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. We're going to chapter 2. And Yahushua, son of Nun, sent out of Shittim, two men to spy secretly, saying, go and view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are coming to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, there came men unto me, but I wist them not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out whither the men went. I would not pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. The men pursued after them to Jordan and to the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof and said, and she said unto the men, I know that Yahweh has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. I'll stop here for a minute. And this is just going back to, understanding Rahab and the people of Jericho acknowledge the power and the authority of the Israelite God. And understanding that they were there caused them to get fearful. Fear fell upon them. They were afraid. because they knew that they were about to be a victim, Israel's Elohim, or Israel's God, or Israel's Mighty One. Verse 10. And, you know, now, you know, I should have read a little more, but now what's happening, she's getting ready to give evidence of why they were afraid. Verse 10. For we have heard how Yahweh dried up the water of the Reed Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For Yahweh, your Elohim, he is Mighty One in the heaven above and in earth beneath. So even though, you know, the people of Jericho worshiped other deities, they acknowledged and knew that Yahweh, or the God of Israel, was the God of the heaven above and the earth beneath. Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by Yahweh, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. I'm going to stop here for a minute. So she's saying, you know, it's like in one of the statements I say, fair exchange is no robbery. You know, this is what she's saying to them. Hey, I saved your life, saved my life and my family's life, because I understand what's about to come my way. But I assisted you and I helped you. Verse 14. And the men answered her, our lives for yours. If ye utter not this, our business, and it shall be, when Yahweh given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. So what she did, what they did, they made stipulations. Hey, look, we good with that. As long as you don't tell nobody, we good. Verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town's wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way. Verse 17. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou doest let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And so whosoever shall be in thy shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. So I'm gonna stop here for a minute. So what's happening? They're giving stipulation, saying, look, the agreement we made, these are the stipulations. If somebody in your house go out in the streets and they die, that's not our fault. It's not our fault. Why? Because we told you to have him in the house. Makes you think about when the angel of death came through Egypt during the Passover. If they was in the house and they had the blood on, they had the mark on the door, angel of death passed by. But if they didn't have that mark on the door, the angel of death went in and then, you know, went into that house. So this is just the same, you know, same thing. This person go out and the people will be, you know, and war is going on and they out in the streets, then they gonna get their hand called for. But if they stay in the house, they're going to be saved. Verse 20. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. So right here again, just going back on the agreement. Hey, if we tell somebody this business, we're not responsible for it. Verse 21. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went, and they came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Yahushua, son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Yahushua, truly, Yahweh has delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So these two men or these two spies went out, just like, you know, as we know, Joshua or Yahushua, son of Nun, he was one of those spies that went out and spied the land beforehand and came back with a good report. And so that's one of the reasons why he's been given the opportunity to go into the promised land, because when he went to spy the land, he came back with a good report. And these gentlemen are coming back and letting them know that, hey, these people are afraid. These people are afraid of you. Or afraid of us, and they're afraid of us because of Yahweh. From here, we're going to go to chapter 3. Just, you know, what we're basically doing is Joshua, son of Nun, or Yahushua, son of Nun, is he's preparing. He's preparing to go to battle. He's preparing to take this land that, you know, that Yahweh has told him that he's going to acquire. Chapter 3. And Yahushua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of Yahweh Elohim, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measurement. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way. Therefore, there is 2:4. And Yahushua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Yahweh will do wonders among you. We'll stop here for a minute. See, we Israel been through this before. You know, when Moses told them to sanctify themselves before Yahweh spoke to them at Mount Sinai. So what's he doing? He's getting the people sanctified. He's getting them cleansed up. They're getting them. Why? Because Yahweh is about to be among them. So that's something that we must always try to do. We must always sanctify ourselves. And he has already done that. And we're learning that, How is he sanctifying us? Because we have the testimony of Yahushua. We keep in his law, statutes, and judgments. That's how we're being sanctified in this day and time from the world. We're keeping the Sabbath, or the Sabbaths. As the scriptures say, the Sabbath is a sign between me and my people. You know, but ultimately, when we deal with the Sabbath, you know, the Sabbath was one of the things that, you know, was created before the law was even given. And as we keep the Sabbath, what are we doing? We're acknowledging the beginning. We're acknowledging the beginning. We're acknowledging the mighty one of creation. And the mighty one of creation spoke to Moses. The mighty one of creation spoke to Yahushua, son of Nun. Verse 7. And Yahweh said unto Yahushua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So what is he doing? He's encouraging, Yahweh is encouraging Yahushua once again. Look, I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show these people that I'm with you. Just as I did with Moses, I'm going to do with you. And that's the same thing in this day and time right now. You know, those who represent Yahweh right now, he's doing the same thing. He's magnifying them. But we as believers today have to see these things. We have to have our eyes and our eyes and our minds keen to his word so that we can identify these things. The servant of Yahweh, the servant of Yahushua, the servant of that word, ultimately the servant of Yah. But we have to have our eyes and our minds open to receive these things. We can't go to the left and we can't go to the right. When we go to the left and we go to the right, what are we doing? We're going on. One is our opinion, the other is somebody else's opinion. But the word stands true on its own. It doesn't need man's support. It doesn't need our support. It supports itself. Just like it's supporting itself right now, letting us know what the pattern of behavior is. What's the pattern? Verse 8, and thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. And Yahushua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the word of Yahweh, Elohim. And Yahushua said, hereby ye shall know that the living Elohim is among you, and that he will not fail. He will, and without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hevites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, of all the passes over before you, to the Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of Yahweh, the Elohim of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up stand up, a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tent to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they that bear the Ark were coming to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the waters of the Jordan, overflowed all the banks, all the time of harvest. The waters which came down from above stood and rose up a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is, beside Zeraton. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over the Jordan. We'll stop here for a minute. We've read that before. We've heard that one before, for this occurrence. Moses did that at the Reed Sea when the people were back between the waters in Egypt. And Moses said, stand still and watch the salvation of Yah. And what did he do? He split the waters of the Reed Sea. And the people walked on dry land. What did he do? He showed that same thing with Yahushua, son of Nun, the successor of Moses, letting the people know that Yahweh was with him. Because that's what he said early in the earlier part of this chapter. I'm going to show this people that I am with you. And that's the same thing can happen today, or the same thing that is happening today, that the man of Yah is doing these things. But we have to have our eyes opened. We have to have our minds clear and focused on his word so that we can see and identify these things. See, one of the things that Yahushua said that, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's talking about that wicked and evil generation seeking for a sign. See, the signs have already been given. Signs are given in his word. And as we read the word and understand the word, and as our teachers say, and we peel back a layer of the onion, if we continue to peel back and pay attention to what's happening in our time, we can see that these same things are happening in our lifetime. But if we're not peeling back the same onion that the leader has, we're not going to see those things. If we're not paying attention to the leaders and what they're doing, we're not going to see it. See, if we went out and bought the same type of onion and we start peeling it back, what are we peeling it back based on? It's based on secondhand knowledge. Because now we're interpreting what's being told to us and not paying attention to what is being done as we peel back our own onion. Going to chapter 4 now. This is going to be the last chapter we're going to read for the night. And it's just basically talking about the preparation that happens before you go to war. See, because that's what's happening right now. They're going to go to war. But what's happening? They're being prepared to go to war. They're being encouraged. They're being fortified. Because we already know Israelites. The Israelites were not warrior people. They were herdsmen. They were farmers. They weren't warrior people. But that doesn't mean they can't fight. Because that spirit of the Most High can be on a man, and he can fight. Because it's those angels that he sent down that system that's fighting for them. Because that's one of the things that he told them. I will fight for you. I will go before you. So if he's going before us, what is he doing? He's preparing the way for us. As we already read, when they sent the spies out, the minds of the people were already shook. They were shook. They were like, oh, snaps. Yo, I don't want them to come here. But they couldn't prevent it because it was the Father's will that it happened. But the people were already shook. The reputation had got there. Word of mouth had gotten there. Because we know the communication system back then was altogether different than we have now. Like right now, we're in the midst of, there's a skirmish going on over in Russia. You know, we turn the TV on, we can see footage. We turn our radio on, we can hear footage of it happening right now. But during those times, nah, things got traveled by camel. Man and camel, man and donkey, you know. Chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean over the Jordan, that Yahweh spake unto Yahushua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Yahushua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of the tribes, out of every tribe of man. And Yahushua said unto them, pass over before the ark of Yahweh, Yahohim, into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Yahushua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as Yahweh spake unto Yahushua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Yahushua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest, which bear the ark of the covenant, stood. And they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that Yahweh commanded Yahushua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Yahushua. And the people hastened and passed over.
And it came to pass when all the people were clean, passed over, and the ark of Yahweh passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before Yahweh unto battle, unto the plains of Jericho. On that day, Yahweh magnified Yahushua in the sight of all of Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And Yahweh spake unto Yahushua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. And Yahushua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of Yahweh were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of their feet were lifted up on dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned into their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east borders of Jericho. Let's stop here for a minute. This is the 10th day, first month. So we're about to approach that. So we know that this is the new year. And on the 10th day, that's when normally you get that sacrifice. So what is happening? This happened on the 10th day. This was a type of sacrifice being done, preparing them. So where are they about to go into? They're about to go into Passover. Because they're in the midst of the new year. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, they Yahushua pitched in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what means these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For Yahweh, your Elohim, dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until he passed over, as Yahweh, your Elohim, did to the Reed Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. I'm going to stop here for a minute. Yahushua, son of Nun, is comparing their occurrence with his occurrence, showing that it was two generations that crossed over these waters, crossed over waters on dry land, showing the comparison. And that's something that, you know, I never really thought about until just now, and do a comparison. And I understand, what is he doing? One of the terms that, you know, rabbis tend to say, double down. See, this is one of those double down moments, in my opinion. Could be wrong, but it's like doubling down. Got the Reed Sea in the Jordan. Israel is passing through on dry land by the servant of Yahweh, leading them. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of Yahweh, that it is mighty, that ye might fear Yahweh, your Elohim, forever. See, so if we go look in the archives, or not really look in the archives, or these architects or whatever they call them, the people that search the land
for old artifacts and things of that nature. They search this out, and they come across it. Evidence of this word being true. And this is what this testimony right here is saying. Because that particular altar that was built of those 12 stones is supposed to be a testimony of that occurrence that happened. So that humanity can fear Yahweh, Elohim, just as well as Israel was supposed to fear Yahweh Elohim and fear the servants of Yahweh Elohim. But one of the things that we've talked about over the years is that fear or that honor of the man of Yahweh Elohim. And understanding that he fights for them. He protects them. As they protect his honor, he protects their honor. So as we, end right here, as we realize that it was being prepared for Passover, this was going to be their first Passover in the Promised Land, and the things that the Father had them do to prepare for that occurrence. Just like what we do, we prepare ourselves for the Passover, preparing ourselves to accept that gift of life. Going through the preparations, preparing for that battle. As we know, that battle is in our mind. The adversary is always at work. And that's why he equipped us with that full armor. And as Yahushua, I think I read it earlier, he come with a sword. And what's that sword? That sword is that word. Because that's how we defend ourselves. All the other things, they help protect us. But the defense weapon is that word. That double-edged sword. Because as that sword is striking someone else, it can also be striking you. So we're not above the law, statutes, and judgments. We're not above the things that the Father lead and guide our tongues to say. As we're talking to someone else, we can be also stepping on our own toes. As they say, two for one. Yeah, I can have my servant teach him something, but at the same time, he's going to teach him something. So one of the things that we learned in the scriptures in regards to Paul, how he had that thorn in his side, because the Father understands human nature. Give him too much, he get big-headed. So the Father does something with every one of us. He's chosen to keep us humble. He wants to keep us humble so that we can continue to serve him in the right spirit and in the right mind. Serving him because we love him. Just as he loves us. And he showed how he loved us by sending his son down to lay his life down for us. And his son loved us just as well as the Father loved us, because he willingly laid his life down. And that's something that we also have to do. We have to be willing to lay our life down for Yahushua's sake, to give honor and glory to the Father, because that's what he did when he laid his life down. He gave glory and honor to his Father, which is our Father. So, family, that's the end of Joshua, Yahushua, chapters 1 to 4. Hopefully you got something from it. Hopefully you took some notes, maybe some points or some scriptures that I read, the light bulb on in your mind and causing you to go searching some things out in the Father's Word to edify your mind and edify your spirit, to continue to bring you closer and closer to Yahushua, closer and closer to that kingdom, but ultimately closer and closer to that door, being able to see it, being able to see Yahushua in your life, being able to see that protection that is being given to you in front of you and in the back of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together on this Sabbath day to hear your words, to hear our Yahushua, son of Nun, paid for war, and how he followed and listened to what you told him, just as you told Moses, you told him. And just as you told him, you would tell us in our time through the servant whom you chosen to lead and guide us through your word and through this life. Father, we thank you once again for the healing that you've given us in Beth Yahweh, the healing that you've given us as Israel, the healing that you've given humanity. We thank you, Father, for Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer. For we know and understand that it is only through him that we have an opportunity to make it into thy kingdom. We thank you for choosing us and equipping us with the tools necessary to do your will. Thank you, Father, for meeting with us on this Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for the friends and family that you've given us and allowed us to have an opportunity to speak with throughout the course of this week. But ultimately, Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us and prepare our hearts, our perceptions, our walk as we approach this season, Passover. May we go into this season with the right spirit, wanting, acknowledging the sacrifice that has been given for us, giving us that same desire to sacrifice ourselves for your sake. Father, we ask for thee to allow us to have a peaceful slumber, protecting us from dangers seen and unseen, allowing us to stand on your word in our conscious mind and our unconscious mind. Father, we thank thee. Father, we love thee. Father, we ask thee to continue to help us to reverence and fear Yahushua. Reverence and fear you. And understand that the power that we have is not above yours and not above Yahushua's, so that we can be obedient and hear your voice, and hear the voice of your only begotten Son, Yahushua, Mashiach. We thank you once again, Father, for this moment, and we give all praise and honor to Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer and soon coming King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his peace to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Israel. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you. Hal Karasho. Yife Nof, Meshosh Hal Haaret, Hatzion Yakelti, Safon Kiryat Melek Rav, Elohim Be'ar Menoteha, Noda Le Mishkav.
Of day.